Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. I trust that's your desire, just to be near to God. I know that song, sometimes you're going through temptations. The devil throws something your direction, and you need to cry out in song. And oftentimes I'll go to He Leadeth Me, and sometimes you just have to hum that song, Near My God to Thee. What a desire. I trust that's your heart desire this morning, just to be more like Jesus Christ and closer and closer. You could say, well, Leon, how much closer can you get? Well, I'd just like to say one more, just another step closer would be so much better. Just be closer and closer to God. What more do we want from life than just to be closer to our Maker? It's good to be with you this morning. I, too, have been blessed. Thank you, Jim. I echo what he said. It's been good to be here. I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then comes he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and this thou saidest truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, ye know not what, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with woman. Yet no man said, Why speakest thou, or what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went into the city, and said to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. We'll stop there. The title this morning is The Water Pot, and we're going to get to that when we get close to the end of the message. But our goal this morning is to, first of all, to look at the setting. Second of all, we're going to look at the hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. Then we're going to focus a while on the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Then we're going to look at her water pot, and followed by some practical application. And you look at this story, and there's a lot we can dig out here. But verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. So if maybe I have a Bible, I'm sorry, yeah, I'm sure you do too. I have a map in my Bible, and if you look on the map, Judea is on the south. If you go a little bit north, there's Samaria. A little bit further north, and there's Galilee. So Jesus said he left Judea and he was going to Galilee. But the Jews often tried to avoid Samaria, so they would go east a little bit, cross a river, then go north, then cross back over, and there they were, because they wanted to avoid the Samaritans. But as we see here, Jesus went straight up through, he took what they call the shortcut, right through Samaria to get to his destination. If Jesus would have taken the route that they normally take, this story would not have been written, because he would have missed the opportunity to witness to this Samaritan woman. But what was the hatred about between the Jews and the Samaritans? Something we hear about a good bit, and we see it here in verse 9. For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And we need to look at that just a little bit. This hatred was going on since 722 BC. And what happened? The Assyrians had conquered the northern kingdom and taken Israel captive to Assyria. And while they were in captive, they intermarried with the Assyrians. And then if you jump ahead another 136 years later, in 586 BC, the Babylonians conquered the southern kingdom, which is Judah. And during their captivity, they did not intermarry with the Babylonians. So now that the northern kingdom and the southern kingdoms, they're back in their quote-unquote home country, and those who had, from the northern kingdom, they had intermarried with the Syrians. Those from the southern kingdom, wasn't very nice, but they called those people half-breeds or the Samaritans. And you could say, well, why all the hatred? Well, that hatred was so deep that a popular prayer back in those days that those in the southern kingdom would have prayed, said, Lord, do not even remember the Samaritans in the resurrection. So we see how sad this was. There was, as I said, some bitter hatred going on. It has also been said that there was no Samaritan was allowed to become a convert to the Jews. Again, this is some sad, bitter feelings going on. In my studies, I found that a Jew might be friendly, or was allowed to be friendly with a heathen person, but not with a Samaritan. So the bitter hatred that we see here was quite harsh. It's when she said, actually, the Bible just tells us that Jews had no dealings, but that's exactly what was going on. So we can understand, with these feelings in place, why this woman was surprised when Jesus asked her for a drink of water. But as I ponder this setting here, what we need to remember is that Jesus knows all things. You know, he knows everything about you, and he knows everything about me. And this meeting that we're looking at here this morning was by divine appointment. Jesus didn't take the shortcut to Galilee by mistake. I think this was a planned meeting with an unwritten agenda. Jesus knew that when he left Judea to head north, I'm going to stop here at this well, and this is what is going to happen. So Jesus went to the well, as we read, and he sat there waiting for the woman to arrive because he knew that she was on the way. Then we see that Jesus was tired and thirsty from his long walk in verse 6. And what I like about this verse is that the Bible clearly teaches us both the full humanity and the full deity of Jesus Christ. Just a few verses from Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just pause for a second. What are we to do? Let us hold fast our profession. And we're not going to dwell on that, but we could for a long, long, long time. Let's hold fast our profession. The verse continues, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And that's so beautiful. He knows all about you. He knows all about me, but he also knows what you're going to face. And he's been there. That has happened already, but he was tempted yet without sin. He knows what we're going through, and he understands our trials and our temptations. Verse 6, it was about the sixth hour, which was 12 o'clock noon. This was during the heat of the day. So let's think about this woman a little bit. Why was she coming to draw water at this time of the day? It has been said in my studies that women usually came to draw water in the early morning or later on in the evening, or went during the cooler time of the day. But here she came at 12 o'clock to draw water. And you could say, well, obviously she needed water. Correct. The question I have, was she trying to avoid others who knew her reputation? was she trying to sneak out to the well during the heat of the day because about didn't want to have a conversation with others? Was she trying to avoid others? But as she approached the well, here she finds a Jew resting from his travels. She came to the well with her water pot, looking for some fresh water, and then a quick retreat back to her house. And I think, as I read the story, I think her day changed quite dramatically. But we could read this account, read it over this quickly, and we could say, well, what I see here is a picture of a thirsty woman going for a drink of water, and that's correct. But is there more? Is there more to the story? Imagine the shame and guilt she was living with. Try to understand the way she was feeling. She could have been thirsty all morning, but knew she had to wait till noon to go get water, hoping no one else would be at the well at this time of the day. She couldn't risk going to the well when others would have the opportunity to question her way of life. And I'd like to just step out a little bit and say that she did not have a good reputation, and she was aware of it. And I gather that from reading the story and the questions, the answers that she gave to Jesus. I also believe that if Jesus had not started a conversation, this woman would have came out, drew the water that she came for, and left as quick as possible without saying a word to him. And all that just ties into the story that as it unfolds and how beautiful it is. Verse 7, she came to the well, and can you picture Jesus sitting there on the edge of the well? Can you get that picture in your mind? And here she comes walking up with her water pot, and Jesus said, give me to drink. So now just remember the hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews, and here Jesus initiates a conversation. Earlier I said Jesus knows all about us, and I like to just to point out that Jesus knew who this woman was. Her name is not given, but Jesus knew her name. He was aware of her reputation. He knew why she was at the well in the heat of the day. But he did not condemn her for her lifestyle, although he did not approve the way she was living. And I think there's so much we can learn from this encounter. Jesus knew that he was talking to a hurting woman. He saw a sinner in need of a savior. And to initiate the conversation, Jesus said, please give me a drink. Yes, Jesus was well aware that she was considered an outcast in the eyes of the Jews. Jesus knew that this woman was living in adultery. But apart from it all, he started this conversation with her. As we see in verse 8, that they were alone at the well, for the disciples had gone into town to buy meat. I read that verse and I ask the question, well, if they were in Samaria and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, where did these guys go? Where did the disciples go to buy food? I can't answer the question. It's just a question that come up. So we find out that we see the setting was right. The comment was fitting, and Jesus opened a conversation with this woman, but she was not impressed to be talking to a Jew. And what we have to just step back and realize is that Jesus lived a perfect life, and he lived above the level of prejudice. And he deliberately engaged a Samaritan woman in conversation, although she was from a despised race. Jesus' comment was designed to lead to the subject of eternal life. He did not try to embarrass her, and his approach opened the way to further conversation. Her initial response was short, to the point, and with an intent to engage in argument. How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Basically, what are you doing, Jesus? Although, let me add, she did not know who she was speaking to. But that was an intent to engage in argument. But Jesus calmly avoided a confrontation with a woman. He knew that she was experiencing a void in her heart. He knew that she had failed to get the satisfaction life that she was searching for. And I think if we look at this, we understand that this woman needed Jesus, but at this point in her life, she did not know him. Then Jesus goes on, he says, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew. Then you pause about and think about that for a little bit. And I think it's a problem with some men and women today. Many simply do not know. And how sad it is with this woman and others in our society today. Many are running, people are running around searching for something to fill that void in their life.
but they cannot find fulfillment, so that they keep searching. Many people do not know how wonderful Jesus is. They do not know that Jesus can provide them with the peace that they long for and the fulfillment they're searching for. And then the thought came to mind, maybe some do know that Jesus is the answer, but they're rejecting his call. Those, as disciples of Jesus Christ, you know what our duty is? Our duty is to know Christ, and secondly, is to make him known. We are called to lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew Jesus Christ, if you knew the Messiah, then you would have asked him for living water. Jesus was directing her attention to the gift of salvation that's available to all. The living water will fill that void in your life. It will change your life completely, and it will set you on a pathway to eternal life. And Jesus knew that she needed that because she was experiencing that emptiness in her heart. Church, we need to know Jesus Christ. There will be an empty feeling in every heart when Christ is left out. There's an empty feeling in every heart. In every heart, there is a thirst for something that only Jesus can satisfy. Some people say, oh no, the world has everything to offer. No, they do not. It does not. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy us here. There is a nameless, unsatisfied desire, something I cannot put a finger on, a stirring feeling of discontent that only Jesus can satisfy, that can fulfill. That's in your heart and that's in mine if Jesus is not there. And he wants to take residency inside our hearts. He wants to live within us and give us that living water. A quote from Harold Martin, I quote, our hearts are restless until they rest in God, end quote. Are you restless this morning, or are you resting in God? Jesus says, if you knew, back to the woman, you would have asked. And this comment got her attention. This is what she was looking for. She really wanted this water, but at this point, she was thinking that the living water was in Jacob's well. So in her limited thinking and understanding, she pointed out to Jesus, Jesus, you cannot draw from this well. You have nothing to draw with, or so she thought. And then she reminded him that this well is very deep. Today, if you put this in practical application, people might say, who do you think you are, promising something you cannot produce? Well, according to verse 12, she was not quite done with her comment. She said, do you think you're better than Jacob? And I look at that, and she was saying, Jesus, who do you think you are? Again, I repeat, I have a couple more times I'll say it. She did not know who she was talking to. It was obvious of that. She was clueless, almost to speak. But in verse 13, Jesus made it clear that he was not referring to the water that was in Jacob's well. If you draw from this well, woman, you're gonna and drink it, you'll be back for more. This is not the water I'm referring to. And verse 14 is very, very beautiful. Jesus will fill every void in our lives. No need to continue to search for something else. Jesus will quench the thirsty soul. He will satisfy the searching heart. He will fill every void, and he will heal the hurting child. When we sing number 314 in your Christian hymnal, Jesus Christ is all I need, that's exactly the truth. He is. When we say sometimes that Jesus is the answer for the world today, that is the absolute truth. But so many people will go searching for something other than Jesus Christ to fill that void. And then they keep on going because they cannot find it. And Jesus is there saying, I'm the answer. Allow me to fill you. The living water Jesus was referring to is water that comes from an unfailing source, ever flowing and always fresh. This water symbolizes redemption. This water includes the forgiveness of sin, which was your VBS topic. It was great to hear. This water includes a daily commitment to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and a desire to conduct our lives in a way that will bring glory to his name. So those who have accepted Jesus Christ, is that the desire that we have within? Conduct our lives in a way that will bring glory to his name. So just understanding the woman's feelings here first for a little bit, I can understand why she was confused. She came to this well for a drink to quench her physical thirst. And she comes to the well, and here Jesus, and he saw her need. Jesus pointed her to the gift of salvation, basically to himself, as the source of everlasting satisfaction and everlasting flowing spring within the life of every born-again believer. Those, according to verse 14, those who drink or take in Jesus Christ will never thirst again. Excuse me, are you finding fulfillment in Jesus Christ? In Jesus Christ, we find and experience a life of satisfaction that nothing in this world can give us. The new life in Jesus Christ is available to all who come to him in faith, believing that he is the Son of God. And resolve that faith is everlasting life. Our thirst is quenched and we're living in complete satisfaction. And after he was explaining this, if you go back to verse 7, Jesus said, "Give me to drink." And in verse 15, the woman says, "Please give me this water." So Jesus asked for some and she asked for some as well, but it was different water. Samaritan woman had taken the words of Jesus literally. In her mind, if Jesus would give her a supply of this water he was talking about, her trip to the well would be finished. She had the desire for living water, but not understand what Jesus was trying to teach her. And then I'm often amazed at the way Jesus changes the subject in a conversation. And here he switched the subject immediately after she asked for the living water. And I believe Jesus knew that she was not quite ready. So her request for, give me some of this water, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And that was the end of verse 15. And then Jesus said unto her, I mean, think about that. She's saying, give me some water. Just be, if you come up here and I give you some water. And instead I'd say, oh, go call your husband. That's what verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. You know, I repeat, Jesus knows all about us this morning. He knows all about your life. He knows all about mine. He knows what we are doing. He knows what we are thinking. He knows what you will do this week. He knows what you will say this week. What you're going to say on Saturday morning, which I don't know yet, Jesus knows about it already. He knows all about us. And he tells her to go call her husband. Question, are you searching to fill your water pot with something other than the living water from Jesus Christ? Is there bitterness in your water pot? Is there hard feelings in your water pot? Or is there fill in the blank that we are drinking each day? What are we drinking or feeding ourselves with? What are we searching for to satisfy our desires? Are we out there today, tomorrow, are we searching for wealth? What about fame? What about recognition, acceptance? You know, fill in the blank. What are we searching for to fulfill our desires? Again, Jesus knows the thoughts and the desires of our heart, and he is the answer. In verse 17, after Jesus told her to go call her husband, in verse 17, she was not ready to talk about her marriage relationship. Again, she didn't know she was talking to Jesus, so she tried to avoid the conversation by telling Jesus she's not married. And Jesus said, you said you don't have a husband, but you were married 5 times. You talk about Jesus knowing about everything. How did he know this? But Jesus knows. This goes back probably many years, and he knows all about this. Speaking the untruth to Jesus is a big mistake. The picture of Jesus, we want to maintain that he is kind, he's a merciful, and he's a loving master. But please don't speak the untruth to our master. Always speak the truth and ask for forgiveness where needed. Jesus loved to forgive those who ask him. Verse 18, Jesus said, you were married 5 times, and the man you're living with today, you're correct. And this part of your answer is correct. He is not your husband. So she thought a little bit between verses 18 and 19. And then she responded, again, still not knowing it was Jesus, but knew there was something special about him. And she said, are you a prophet, divinely inspired with supernatural knowledge? Obviously, yeah, Jesus is divinely inspired. That part, she had it right. Verse 20 was, I think it's an attempt to avoid the conversation Jesus tried to ask about her relationship. She said, our fathers worship in this mountain. So I said that Jesus changes the subjects. And here she did too. She asked for living water. Jesus said, go call your husband. She comes back and says, oh, what about worshiping? She tried to avoid the conversations. The Jews say that the correct place to worship God is in Jerusalem. The Samaritans insisted that God be worshipped in a mountain west of Jacob's well. And so there was differences all around between these groups of people. In verse 21, Jesus explains that the real question is not where to worship, but rather how to worship. Jesus pointed out that her people, which is the Samaritans, did not even know the God that they are worshiping for salvation of the Jews. Verse 22, pointing to the fact that through a Jewish mother, the Messiah would be born, and God's plan of salvation would be available to all through Jesus Christ. You know, many people feel like the only proper way to worship is within their group. And Jesus is talking about that we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. We can worship our Creator at any location. We don't need to be in a certain mountain or a certain city. Real worship is the exercise of our entire being. Worship includes the heart, mind, will, in confession, adoration, and praise and prayer to God. It was so sweet to be worshiping in song here this morning, just thanking God for all that he has done for us. True worship includes complete surrender to the Lord. When we talk about our water pots and what we're filling them with, are we surrendered to the Lord? Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah is coming, which is Christ. When he's come, he will teach us all things. I look at that and I ask, was she trying to discredit the authority of Jesus? Was she saying, I hear what you're saying, man, but when the Messiah comes, he will tell us and we'll listen to him. And then it gets to the point where Jesus said, I that speak unto you am he. Woman, I am Jesus Christ. Woman, I am the Messiah. I can offer you the gift of living water. Woman, you don't need to look anywhere else for Messiah. I that speak unto you am he. And imagine her standing there in shock for what just happened. I mean, I'm recovering this story quickly. I'm not sure how long it took to Jesus all to say this. But imagine her standing there after Jesus said that. And I believe she would have had some follow-up questions. And I believe the conversation could have continued. But before anything else could happen, according to our Bibles, the disciples came returned from their trip. They were back with the food. And the Bible tells us that the disciples, which had followed Jesus faithfully for many years, they were amazed that Jesus was speaking to a Samaritan woman. So they knew about this hatred, but they didn't ask Jesus why he was talking to her. And then we get to verse 28. So Jesus is speaking in verse 26. Then I think she was shocked and was processing what she just heard. In that time, verse 27, the disciples came back, and then we see what their thoughts were. And nothing else happened between verses 27 and 28 that I see. But here we see the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. In her excitement to tell others about Jesus, she left her water pot and headed back to the city. This time, she did not try to hide from others, but to tell others about Jesus. And we see she urged them to come out of the city to the well to see Jesus. But look at her water pot just for a second. Her water pot is something that she brought to the well for water. It's quite obvious. But she came to fill her water pot to quench the thirst in her soul, but she left it lay and left. She came to the well carrying her water pot close to her heart. And I like to picture her carrying a water pot like this, right close to her heart. Oh, you could say, well, maybe she was carrying it on her head, possibly. Maybe after it was full, she did. But she came to the well carrying her water pot with a desire for a refill of her current lifestyle, but she left it lay. Her water pot was a sign of who she was. This was her vessel that she needed to satisfy her need, but she left it lay. Her water pot was used to quench her thirst, to fulfill her desires, her love for her lifestyle. But, according to verse 28, she left her water pot. The Bible does not tell us that she took a minute or two to draw water for Jesus. I think she was, well, in her, I think sticking up for her a little bit. She was too excited. But she left her previous desires and needs and ran to the town to tell others about Jesus. And as you picture the scene, the well, Jesus still there, the disciples standing around, the water pot sitting there, and she's gone. As we picture that scene, a question comes to my mind, and it's simply this. What are we searching for to fill our water pot? Is there something in your water pot that Jesus is asking you, brother, sister, leave it lay and go tell others what he has done for you? What are we searching for to fill our water pot? As a reminder, Jesus knows the thoughts and the desires of your heart and mine. And Jesus knew what this woman was searching for. And he approached her situation in a very unique way to get her to the point when she was ready for him to say, I that speak unto you am he. Jesus knows and cares about each soul this morning. And we cannot lie to Jesus. She tried. We cannot lie to Jesus. We cannot avoid the hard questions he asked. She tried. It didn't work out. Are we trying to change the conversation, or are we being honest with Jesus? What is in your water pot that Jesus is asking you to leave lay or empty of so he can fill you with living water? Or is there something in your water pot or my water pot that we need to go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness? Lord, I've been trying to fill my water pot with, fill in the blank, but today, Lord, I'm asking you to empty my water pot of sin and self and help me surrender my life to you. Maybe this morning it's time to say, Lord, fill me now. Fill me now. Like we sing sometimes. Salvation is not only for the Jews, but it's available to all who come to him believing. John 3:16. Even the disciples questioned this conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. But if you're still open to John 4, I'm going to read verses 39 to 41. This jumping ahead a little bit. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. And that tells me that she didn't just go back and say, hey, come out and see this man. No, she told the people of her town what Jesus said to her. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought, I like to say that word could be also begged him, that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Time out, back up. The Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. No. Jesus abode there, and his disciples, that might be taken out of context, for 2 days. Verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. You go back and you read verse 9, no dealings, and you go back and you read verses 39 to 41, and you say, this is beautiful. Many believed. If this Samaritan woman had decided to ignore the words of Jesus, now picture this, she quickly comes, ignores Jesus' comment for water, draws her water, and runs back to the comfort zone of her house, she would have missed this entire conversation. But this woman made a wise decision. She left her water pot, which would include her previous sinful lifestyle, and she became a disciple of Jesus, reaching her home community with the gospel of salvation. She pointed people to Jesus, and many believed to the point, as I said, where they begged him to stay in their city so they could hear the gospel message. Practical application. Are you faithfully spreading the gospel to the people around you? Or maybe you're trying to fill your water pot with selfish goals and desires. Where are you at this morning? Do you want to experience the living water from Jesus Christ? Are you done searching for something to fill your empty spot in your heart? Are you tired of searching but never of finding? Are you ready to ask Jesus to fill you with that living water? And it was so precious that Jim mentioned earlier, and I'm going to repeat what he said. If that's the case, don't push it off. Don't say no. Say yes. Because of his experience. Is Jesus speaking to you this morning? And are you going to listen to him? Or, like this woman, are you going to try to change the subject? Will you say yes to Jesus today and allow him to fill you with the living water? To those who are living for the Lord and experience his living water, may you be encouraged to tell others about the living water of Jesus Christ that is available to all as you faithfully serve him. Thank you for being here this morning. God bless you. Allow the Spirit to work in your heart and lives and to move you, and again, to fill you with the living water. Let's stand for prayer and remain standing after prayer for a closing song. Lord, we come before you this morning and say thank you, Lord, for this story here in John chapter 4 of the Samaritan woman and the conversation with her. Thank you, Lord, for the living water that you offer to all, to whosoever will believe. Thank you, Lord, that you can fill that empty void in our lives and that we could experience a fulfilled life as we follow you faithfully. Lord, if there's any here this morning that are not following you and you are calling, I pray they can respond to your call. And for those who are faithfully following you, I ask you just be near to them, bless them, and I want to encourage them just to tell others about the living water that's available through Jesus Christ. Bless each heart for being here this morning and each soul, and just be with us throughout the day. Help us, Lord, just to serve you faithfully throughout the week and years coming, and to be a people after your own heart. Dismiss us with your blessing. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. A song, please.